Well, good morning. Hopefully there's somebody out there listening and or watching. And you know, with all the technology we have today, we can do this. But I want you to know, I see you. We're looking in on your room right now. And okay, you shouldn't have your pajamas on while you're at church. But just kidding. You know, don't scatter. But I never know what I'm going to say when I get up here. So, but anyway, good morning, and we do praise the Lord today. And you know, hopefully these are difficult times, different times, times that we didn't anticipate, obviously, and we just made the decision to do this just a couple of days ago. So thanks to all that came together to make this happen. And hopefully in this time, as we kind of focus on physical health, I hope that we will not neglect our spiritual health. And so glad to have you aboard with us today. And just for your information, we do have a YouTube, I don't know if they call it channel or site or whatever you call it. We've initiated that, and then sometime after the service is over, they will get the information for that and probably put it out on the prayer chain so that you can
tap into YouTube in case you're not able to do the Facebook part of this. And so, all that to say, this is a work in progress, and probably each week we'll get a little better at it. So hopefully it won't take too many weeks, and we'll be back to normal back in here. That is our prayer, and I hope that is your prayer too. As far as announcements go, we are sending the bulletin, we are sending the weekly prayer guide, and we're actually sending you a outline of my sermon, the one that you would normally get in your bulletin. And Dave is sending those out on the prayer chain. And so if you are not getting that, then you need to contact Dave Felt and get your email added to the prayer chain, and you will receive all those things each week so that you can kind of keep up. And that is the way that we are trying to communicate with all of you, is through the prayer chain. And so any announcements that we have to make during the week or whatever, we will be contacting you that way to let you know. And I also want you to know that our deacons are ready, willing, and able to assist you if necessary. If you need prayer, give one of them a call. Whoever your deacon is, you give him a call, and he will pray with you. If you need some sort of assistance, let your deacon know, and we will see what we can do to work it out. So those are just things we've kind of got in place, and we'll see how it goes, and we'll just kind of progress as the situation carries us, I guess, is the best way to put it. And if you have an old bulletin, all the numbers are in there, but all the numbers are also in the email that I sent Friday, I believe it was, in which I announced that we would not be having services here at the church, and we would be live streaming. So all the deacons' numbers, my number's on there, and so please do that. As far as offerings go, obviously we can't take your offering, but if you wish, I did include on that email the address of the church, and if you would, you know, write your check and drop it in the mail, that would be great. And we would appreciate that as well. These times when they're telling us to stay in, it might not be such a bad idea. The Bible does tell us at times to be still and know that He is God. And so sometimes I think God tries to get our attention, and this may be just one of those times. So keep those things in mind. As far as all the announcements that are in the bulletin, they're all canceled. So until further notice. I mean, obviously, at some point, we will have the Monday Bible study. We'll have the ladies' Bible study. We'll resume. The prayer seminar, hopefully, will go forward in May. Hopefully by May, we're back to normal. I mean, that's my prayer. The membership class, just going to kind of put that on hold and see where that goes. The work day, I imagine we're canceling that for now. And we'll get another date at some point. VBS, that's in July. Hopefully that will certainly take place. But honestly, everything is in the air. And so we will give you the updates as we get them. And so with that, can I click this? Okay. And okay, great. Oh, and also, just realize that these will pass. These times will pass. Be confident. Have faith. And so the message today, I was actually originally going to preach last week, and then God kind of interrupted my train of thought for last week, and I preached the message last week, and then I just moved that message, the original one out of Malachi, to today. And it was really encouraging to me. It was really kind of a God thing, because I think the message today really applies to this situation, what we're in right now. And so I'm kind of excited about it, that how God worked that out. And he's in all the little things, you know. And so never forget that. And so today, let's see what we got here. The verse for today is out of the book of Haggai, which is a minor prophet in the Old Testament. We're going to look at chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. The Lord of armies says this: think carefully about your ways. You know, that's probably something we all should do all the time. Think about what we're doing, where we're going. And he says, go up into the hills, bring down lumber, build the house, and I will be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You expected much, but then it amounted to little. When you brought the harvest to your house, I ruined it. Why? This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. Because my house still lies in ruins while each of you is busy with his own house. And so let's pray, and then we'll worship in song and get on with the service. So Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, that we have your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We ask you to bless this service today, Lord. I pray that you would work in the hearts and minds of everyone that hears this, Lord. May we be receptive to your word today. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is my daily bread. All right. Wait for Dave to get the outline on the screen. Hopefully you guys will be able to see the screen and the blanks and that kind of thing. All right. Well, today, starting a new series out of the book of Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament. And I've entitled it From Religion to Relationship. And Malachi really is a transitional book. And at the end of Malachi, he points the way towards Jesus Christ coming and John the Baptist and that kind of thing. But it starts off, the book starts off with things about the temple and about the areas in that the Jews were supposed to be doing that they weren't doing. And I've, the introduction, I've got burdened last words, Malachi 1:1. And that's the only verse we're going to deal with today is Malachi 1:1. But obviously, I've probably got a lot more things to say than just that. But Malachi 1:1, and so we're going to look at the who of Malachi, the who of Malachi. Who is this guy? In other words, anytime you're studying the Bible, you need to understand who the person is, the context of his ministry, when it was written, to whom it was written, those kind of things to give you a little better understanding of what's going on. And the truth is about Malachi, we don't really know much about him. His name literally means my messenger, my messenger. In the Latin, it translates angelicus or angel, which is consistent as angels were actually and are God's messengers to mankind. And so it's interesting in that regard. We have no record of his family, which gave rise to the idea that maybe he was actually really an angel. I mean, some people actually thought that, and maybe he was. We really don't know. We know that Paul warns us that we may entertain angels unawares, which means they would look just like us, talk like us, do the things we do. But regardless of that, we know he was a man, as far as we know, a prophet, and that we perhaps call his name simply just as a statement of his purpose, to bring a message from God. Messengers are kind of unique in this, that when you get an important message, you don't really question the messenger or care to know his name or where he came from. You know, if you get Western Union comes to your house, which that's kind of old school, but, you know, they got this important message for you, you take that message and you don't really care where the guy's from or what his name is or anything else. The important thing is that he brought the message and what the message said. And it reminds me of, you know, how many of you have heard of William Dawes? You know, William Dawes, right? And you say, wow, I've never heard of that guy. And most people haven't. But you have heard the words of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, who wrote this poem called The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. Said, listen, children, and you will hear the midnight ride of Paul Revere. Well, a lot of people don't know that there was two riders that night. And one of them was William Dawes. And he had the same message that Paul Revere had. And, you know, the only reason we know about Paul Revere is because, listen, children, and you will hear about the midnight ride of William Dawes. Doesn't really flow. So we've heard of Paul Revere mainly because of that poem. And he became very famous, and he was an important part, you know, of the American Revolution and all that. But so was William Dawes, who was had an equally important message given at the same time to different groups of people. And the message that he brought was exactly as important as the message Paul Revere brought. They were the same message, and those people were glad to hear that message because it was warning them of what was going to take place very quickly, and they needed to be ready. And really, that's what Malachi, that's who he is. He's a messenger. Things are going to take place. And these were kind of God's last words to Israel for 400 years, as it turned out. And so that's the who of Malachi. And now we're going to look at the when of Malachi. And I'm making a little bit of a play on words here, because there's two ways of looking at this word when, and both are applicable. And first, I'm just going to take the part that's probably obvious to you, like when did Malachi minister? When did Malachi prophesy and write this letter, if you will, preach this word to the Jewish people? You know, when Malachi served, oddly enough, is kind of obscure also. We kind of don't know who he was, and he doesn't really give us too many clues within his letter or his book here, but we do believe he ministered between about 420 to 385 B.C., and there's a lot of reasons for thinking that, and I'm going to actually outline some of this, which is why you have all those blanks underneath the when of Malachi. We're going to lead you up to this. But to have a better perspective of Malachi, we need to understand where the Jews were at spiritually. Where were they at spiritually? And there are lessons we can learn from the events that brought Israel to where it was around 400 B.C., which is when Malachi ministered to them. And so there was a series of events, and that's going to be the when, but it's also going to have a very important sidebar, which is the when of Malachi, which was when he was ministering, but also how do we respond when something happens? And that's the when that we're going to talk about here. And so let me see here. Yeah. How do we respond when? And this is really the when that I'm talking about, not so much the time frame, but what do we do when things happen? And I think this is a perfect time to address that with all the stuff that's going on in our country and actually in the world. What do we do when? How do we respond when these things happen? And Judah, of course, Israel was broken into two kingdoms after Solomon died, and there was the nation of Judah, and then what we call Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel, the 2 tribes of Judah and Benjamin. And the northern tribes had already been erased. The Assyrians had come in and took them out. And then Judah and Benjamin was left. And then in 586 B.C., Judah falls to Babylon. And the temple was destroyed. I mean, leveled. Jerusalem was leveled. The magnificent temple that Solomon had built was destroyed. All the people that were of any value, and listen, all people are valuable, but the Babylonians came in there. Are you able-bodied? Are you smart? Are you going to be a benefit to us? They captured all them. That's when Daniel went, and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego all went, and they were taken. All the best were taken to Babylon, and then they left a few people there just to kind of maintain the land. But the nation of Israel was basically taken captive. It had fallen. It was destroyed just as God said it would be. And so the question is, how do we respond when our world is rocked? How do we respond? You know, here's a nation. They were a nation. And at one time, they were the most powerful nation. Under Solomon, everybody served Israel. Israel ran the world at that time. Nobody messed with Israel. And then a few hundred years later, bam, Babylon takes them out. And they are no longer their own nation. They're in captivity in a foreign land. How do we respond when our world is turned upside down? When everything that we knew changed? And, you know, we kind of had a part of that back, you know, you remember back, what year was it, 2001 or when 9/11 hit? I believe it was 2001. And 9/11 hit, and it changed our world, didn't it? I mean, remember, you know, you could go to the airport and go all the way to the gate with your loved ones and sit there and just have a good time, and then they just get right on, and then you could stand there and watch them get on the plane and take off, and you didn't have all that, you know, taking your shoes off and, you know, and all the stuff that we have to do now. It changed our country forever. And so what do we do when our world is rocked? And now we have this coronavirus coming, and it's changing. I mean, why are we live streaming? And we live stream every week, but basically I'm here in an almost empty room, and it's different. It's different. But how do we respond to that? And people having to stay at home. And, you know, maybe we've just gotten so mobile and so out of touch with home. And I heard of, I don't know where I heard this, but I don't know if my wife told me or someone else, but someone had a teenage daughter that said, I'm glad that this is going on right now because I get to be with my parents now. and that says something. You know, sometimes we get so busy and we're doing so many things, we kind of neglect the things that we say are the dearest to us. And maybe God's telling us, you know what? We need to stop and take a breath. And maybe get back in touch with family again and get back in touch with the simpler things of life and not be so busy. You know, I think of Jesus when Mary and Martha were ministering to him, and, you know, he was at their home and Martha's running around like crazy trying to make dinner and do all the things, and Mary's just sitting there. And Martha comes to him and says, "Master, you know, tell her to help." And Jesus said, "She's chosen the good thing. I will not always be with you." And I think maybe, yeah, it's turned our world upside down. I know there's going to be financial hardship for many people out of this. But maybe since we're kind of forced into it, maybe get our focus on what we're lacking and start looking at what opportunity we have right now instead. Don't focus on the negative, but on the positive. And I will say a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But really, how do we respond when our world is rocked? It's very important. You know, we can't control that came, and we can't control what the governor or the president or the county says, but we can control our response to it. And how are we responding? Secondly, how do we respond when we are faced with huge obstacles? With huge obstacles. Judah fell to Babylon. The temple was destroyed. Babylon, at that time, was the most powerful nation on earth. I'm sure those people felt like, wow, we're toast. You know, we're just going to be here forever, forever. But in 539 B.C., about 47 years later, Babylon falls. Cyrus, the Medes and Persians, came in and took out Babylon. You know, even the biggest obstacles in our lives are not forever. You know, sometimes it seems like it. Sometimes it seems like it goes on and on. But even the biggest obstacles in our life are not forever. Mighty Babylon fell. And that's a pretty amazing account when you think about it. If you ever study the history on that, there was a river that actually flowed through Babylon. That was part of the reason why they were so fortified. The walls were like huge. It was something like 50 feet thick or some crazy number like that. They were huge. And they had the river flowing through, and, you know, they had their gardens, and, you know, they were self-sufficient. And the Medes and Persians, you know what they did? They diverted the river. They dug a canal or whatever, and then one day they just piled a bunch of dirt there, and the river went that way, and the river quit flowing through Babylon, and they went right through where the river had been and took out Babylon. It was a huge obstacle, but mighty Babylon fell. You know, what are the things you're looking at in your life that you know, you're looking at them as a huge obstacle, and you feel like, wow, I'll never get over that or get past that. That'll never change. I'm here to tell you it will change someday in God's time. Maybe there's a lesson to be learned. Maybe, you know, maybe there's something to that you need to change in your life or whatever, and God is trying to maneuver you that way. But whatever it may be, it's not forever. You know, and some of the things in our life will never change. I mean, there's people that have incurable diseases and things like that. And it may not be a fatal disease, but it's something they deal with the rest of their life. But it will end. That's the beauty of being a Christian. You got a new body on order, folks. That thing you've been put up with your whole life, you got a new body. It's on order. It's already been ordered. And it's going to be good. And so that's part of our hope. You know, keep in the midst of this crisis, yeah, take care of yourself and be smart, be wise. Keep that one eye on heaven, though. Because if you're a believer, you have that. Third, how do we respond when things look impossible? When things look impossible. Zerubbabel and Joshua, not Joshua the one that was with Moses, but Joshua at this time with Zerubbabel was the high priest. He led the Jews back to Jerusalem in 539, somewhere around there, 539, 538. You know, I am sure, you know, they were thinking, man, we're going to be, now we were under Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, and now we're under Cyrus, and I think Darius is in there somewhere. You know, they were subject to these men, subject to these kings, and they're thinking, we're never going to get to go home. You know, we had that song, you know, home. And sometimes it seems like it's never going to be that way. It seems like something in my life is impossible. But you know what? The Jews went home. They were allowed to go back. And you know, and we think about, you know, I'm preaching here to almost an empty building here. One day, we're all going to be able to come back here. And one day, we'll be able to go out and go to the grocery store and just pick some toilet paper up without a problem, you know. Those are all good things. But for now, it kind of looks like, wow, when's this going to end? What, you know, how's this going to go? And we don't know. But you know, with God, things you think could never happen can come to pass. So don't lose your hope. Don't think that it's all impossible. No, with God, all things are possible. Isn't that what Jesus told his disciples? You know, they said, but Lord, it's impossible. You know, if you could, you know, because Jesus just got through telling them, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. And you got to remember, in their day, if you were rich, you were looked upon as being blessed by God. Like you were, like the only reason you're rich is God blessed you and you're a good person and you're really close with God. That was what they thought. That was the way they felt. If you were desperately poor, then you were lacking in some things. But if you were rich, you were being blessed. And so they were like, it was like incredible to them that Jesus made this statement. And he said, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. And so their response was, well, then who can go? It'd be impossible then for anyone to go to heaven. And Jesus goes, well, with man, it may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So we need to understand that sometimes things do look impossible, but with God, things can happen. So how do we respond when our world is rocked? How do we respond when we face huge obstacles? How do we respond when things look impossible? How do we respond when we have the wrong focus? So there, you know, there's a timeline going here. 586 BC, Judah falls to Babylon and temple's destroyed. 539, Cyrus defeats Babylon and allows the Jews to return. And in 539-38, somewhere in there, Joshua and Zerubbabel goes back and rebuilding the temple begins. Okay, 536 BC, the temple, they're going to rebuild it, but problems come up. And, you know, anytime you want to do something good, don't problems come up? I mean, that's just kind of the way it goes. But problems came up, and the people began to neglect the temple and work on their own house. They said, you know what? This is just too much hassle. Let's just go home and rebuild our houses. And they began to have the wrong focus. And then Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the prophet, come on the scene at this time, around 536, and urge the people to get on with the project. And that's the verse that I read at the very beginning of the service. The Lord of hosts says, think carefully about your ways. Go into the hills, bring down lumber, and build the house. And he was talking about the temple. He says, then I will be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. He says, you expected much, but it amounted to little. You know, so many times we're that way. We expect a big thing, but we're not doing God's will. And it usually, it's been my experience, it doesn't amount to much when it's all done. It's not what I thought it was going to be. And he says, when you brought the harvest to your house, I ruined it. And he says, why? God asked the question for us. Why? Uh-oh. Why? I don't know. Why? You may have to just hit it manually or something. I don't know what happened there. A pop-up came up. Here we go. There we go. Yep, it's back. So, he says, you brought the harvest to your house and I ruined it. Why? It stopped again, Dave. See, there is an adversary that does not want me to make this point.
Okay. Take a two-question survey.
There it is. This is the declaration of the Lord of hosts. And this is what God says. Because my house still lies in ruins, while each of you is busy with your own house. And you know what we tend to do? We tend to get our focus on things that aren't on the material. We tend to get our focus on the material, and we leave out the spiritual. You know, these guys, they started with a good intention. We're going to rebuild the temple. But some things happened. And then they said, you know what? I need to fix my house. And so they go and they're working on their houses and just leaving God's temple just laying there in ruins. And God says, wait a minute. Am I not supposed to be first in your life? How do we respond when we realize we have the wrong focus? You know, there's so many things go on in our life and we get focused on, you know, the cares of this world, really. And some things we do have to focus on. I'm not saying we need to neglect our responsibility, but is God really the preeminent part of your life? Is He number one? He says, build my house. And you know, for us, you know, the temple was where God was. But since Jesus died and rose again, we have become the temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Are we working on this temple? Are we working on our Bible knowledge, our spirituality, all the things that go into being a Christian? Are we trying to walk with God in a better way? Or are we busy doing all this other stuff and kind of neglecting the spiritual side of who we are? You know, it's easy for us to get focused on the material, you know, these bodies, physical bodies, and even on our emotions and our mind, the things we think about. We can really get caught up in our fears and joys and everything in between. But God says, don't neglect my house. Don't neglect your spiritual walk. And you know, in times like this when everything's so crazy and now we've been ordered basically to stay inside unless you're going out for food or medicine or something like that, maybe it's a good time for us to start with ourselves and say, you know what? I'm going to spend a little more time with God now. I want to take a break from the mayhem of life and be still and know that I am God. Get my focus on Him. Get my focus on what He's doing. Very important. Don't leave out the spiritual, folks. Don't leave that out. How do we respond when we have the wrong focus? Hopefully, we respond by getting our focus back where it ought to be. Next, how do we respond when we face discouragement? Discouragement. So in 536, they began to build the temple. Okay? Then in 516 BC, okay, 20 years later, the temple is completed. The temple is completed in 516. And the people weep. Isn't that interesting? And why do they weep? Because they go before the temple, and these are people that remember the old temple. Solomon's magnificent temple. And you're going to have to realize that was something beyond what we can imagine. And so now here comes this other temple that they built, and it's nothing like it. I mean, it's a temple. And so they look at it, and they begin to cry. Wow, man, remember the old temple? Remember how the bronze pillars, you know, they went up seemingly into heaven, and the gold, everything was laid in gold and it was magnificent. Remember that? And now we have this. And they were discouraged. They wept. I mean, you would have thought they'd been rejoicing. Wow, we got a place we can worship God. But no, they were discouraged. I'm going to give you a statement. That if you're facing discouragement, if you're discouraged, I'm going to give you a sentence here that if you ponder it and act upon it, I think it'll help you. Okay? Discouragement. I'm going to define what discouragement is. Discouragement is the fruit of focusing on what you don't have instead of being thankful for what you do have. I'm going to give you all time to write that down because, you know, when you think about that, discouragement is the fruit of focusing on what you don't have instead of being thankful for what you do have. They were focusing on the old temple, Solomon's glorious temple, instead of being thankful that they had a temple to worship in. That God had brought them out of slavery, brought them out of, you know, out from under Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus, and they were a captive in a foreign land, and he brought them back to their own land and built the temple, and here it is completed. They can actually, you know, they were in a land that was pagan. You know, they're worshiping all these different gods, and they tried to hold true to the one true God, and now they actually got to build a temple where they could worship the one true God. And they're crying and moaning about, wow, it's not as good as what we had. Instead of saying, thank you, Lord, for restoring us to our land. And thank you, Lord, that we were able to complete this temple and have a place to come and worship. We need to be more thankful. We get discouraged because we focus on what we don't have, instead of being thankful for what we do. Kind of like this situation here. You know, people say, well, I'm discouraged. I wanted to come to church and whatever. Well, don't focus on that. Be thankful that you can watch this. You know, be thankful we're in a day and age where you can watch it from home. Focus on that. And be thankful. Next, how do we respond when God seems distant? So the temple was completed in 516. And then some years later in 458, Ezra, the scribe, arrives with another group of people. And he exhorts the people to religious and moral reform. In other words, they had got there, they had built the temple, but then they had drifted away again. And Ezra comes and says, you need to get back. You need to get back close to God. So how do you respond when God seems distant? I've heard people say, it just doesn't seem like he hears my prayer, or he doesn't, you know, it just doesn't seem like he's working in my life, or, you know, it just seems so far away. I don't really feel close. How do you respond to that? Well, hopefully you'll respond by getting into your word. Get into the word. You know, God makes a very interesting promise. He says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. So if you feel like God is distant, let me ask you a question. How much effort have you been putting into drawing close to God? Are you turning towards Him? Are you spending some time in the Word? Are you spending some time in prayer? Are you spending some time maybe meditating on a verse or something that God brings to you? Are you doing that? The Lord wants you to be close to Him. And the Bible says if you'll draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. In other words, it's kind of like if we take a step towards Him, He'll just kind of reach out there and just bring us on in. Just bring us on in. How do we respond when God seems distant? Some people, they just say, well, you know, I used to go to church. I used to do this, but nothing ever happened. I just do my own thing now. Yeah, there's no such thing as God. It's just a fairy tale. There's people that say that. And if you're feeling that God is distant, maybe you haven't gotten to that point where you say God's a fairy tale, but maybe you're feeling a little distant. Why don't you make the first move? Why don't you draw near to God? Start getting in His Word. Start counting your blessings. Start being thankful to Him. When was it? We had that song, "This is the air I breathe," right? You know, how many times do we just go around and breathe and don't even think about it? And literally, we're not guaranteed another breath, folks. Are we thankful? You know, there's a lot of people in hospitals right now that can't breathe. They're on respirators. And And if you're able to watch this from the comfort of your home and you're breathing good, be thankful for that. Draw close to God. And one of the best ways to do that is to have a thankful attitude. Just start thanking Him for the little things, the things we take for granted. And then He won't be distant anymore. Lastly, on this timeline, how do we respond when we feel vulnerable? Vulnerable. So in 458, Ezra came and exhorted them to turn back towards God. And then in 444, Nehemiah comes because the walls were down. The temple was built, but the walls of the city were down. And the people that were there were vulnerable. There was a lot of bad people back then, just like there are now. And they would come and rob and hurt people and those kind of things. And the Lord wants to protect you. The Lord wants to lead you. And so Nehemiah comes in 444 and he builds the wall, and then he actually becomes governor of that region of Jerusalem and the surrounding area, and he was there for 12 years. You see, the Lord wants to protect us and the Lord wants to lead us. Question is, are we following? And sometimes we feel vulnerable. Sometimes we feel like, wow, you know, this is kind of a scary time. Well, I hope you're putting your faith in the Lord. He is one you can truly put your faith in. How do you respond? Do you draw close to God? Do you start claiming some promises out of His Word? I will never leave you or forsake you. That's a big one. I will bless you. You know, there's Deuteronomy 28. Tons of verses about if you do this, 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 and this, God says, I will do this, 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 and this. And it's all good stuff. But then the flip side is true. If you don't do this, 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 and this, then all these curses are going to come upon you. And you know what? A lot of times when we're vulnerable, it's because we have actually kind of walked away from God's ways. And we've opened ourselves up. I call it the umbrella. You know, when you're lined up with God, you're under His umbrella. But when you start doing things your own way and start taking things in your own power, you're kind of stepping out from under the umbrella. And then a lot of stuff can happen to you. Get back under His wing. Get back under the umbrella where you're protected and you're not vulnerable. And then, so we had Judah falls in 586, Cyrus defeats Babylon in 539, Zerubbabel and Joshua lead the Jews back in 538, the temple begins to be rebuilt in 536, and then the temple's completed in 516, and then Ezra comes in 458, and then Nehemiah comes in 444, and then 12 years later he leaves. And then what happens is, as you read over and over again in the Bible, when these good leaders are gone, the people go their own way. They start drifting away from God. And that's when we come to Malachi, somewhere around 400, somewhere around there, B.C. And that brings us to the why of Malachi. The why of Malachi. Why did God raise him up? Why did God bring this man on the scene? In Malachi 1:1, the only verse we're talking about Malachi today, interesting opening to this small book. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. You see, it's been 200 years since Judah fell to Babylon. Zerubbabel, Joshua the priest, Haggai, Zechariah, Ezra, Nehemiah, these guys are all gone. These great leaders, these ones that inspired people, encouraged people to follow God, they're all gone by the wayside now. Moral and spiritual decline had set in. The people needed to hear from God, and God sent Malachi. And God sent Malachi with a burden. God burdened him. The burden was placed on him by God to challenge and encourage Israel. That was his why. The people had fallen away. And God placed a burden on somebody. And I, as a pastor, as a preacher, I've only been a pastor 7 years, but I've been a preacher for a lot of years. And I understand, you know, when God lays something on your heart, that burden, and you have to say it. You got to bring it out. It's something that God lays on your heart. And it happened to me last week. I was going to preach this message last week, and I wake up in the morning, you know, a Sunday morning early, and I'm like wide awake, and I'm sitting there thinking, and God's just laying all that stuff on me that I talked about last week, and He's laying it on me, and I'm like, you know, having a little conversation, you know, with God. Well, God, I've already, you know, already got all this laid out and already got the PowerPoint and, you know, and already got this and that, and it's in the bulletin. You know, I got all my reasons. But God had a burden on me. He says, no, you need to talk about something different this week. And it's a burden. And Malachi had this burden. I understand what he's talking about. When you just know this is what God wants you to do. You just know this is what God wants you to say. And so God places those on us. And I'm sure you've probably felt it in some way or another. Maybe you've never preached or anything, but you ever, you know, been somewhere and God says to you, you really need to talk to this person? Or you really ought to help that person? Or, you know, maybe you're just sitting at home doing nothing and somebody just comes to your mind. And God's kind of telling you, you need to call this person and encourage them. You know, that's a burden that God places on us to perform something that He would have us do. And that's the why of Malachi. Because moral and spiritual decline was in God's people. And they needed to be exhorted and encouraged one more time. That was the why of Malachi. That's why he did what he did. Because the people needed someone, and God sent him. What's God sending you to do? What's he laying on your heart? I hope you'll accept the burden and carry it out. Last words are important. I've got the title of this message is basically Burdened Last Words. Burdened Last Words. You know, last words are important. You know, you'll be talking to people, or you could have a relationship with somebody for, you know, a long time, 20, 30, 40 years, maybe more. Maybe now they're on their deathbed, and if they come to you and they say, I've got one more thing to say before I go. I mean, you're going to be listening because these are important words. This, you know, somebody knows they're not going to be able to say anything again. What is that one thing you would tell your children if you knew you were never going to talk to them again? I mean, put yourself in that position. You know, last words are important. And the book of Malachi was God's last words to Israel. Because no prophet came for 400 years after this. It wasn't until John the Baptist came. You want to know why John the Baptist was so popular? Nobody had been speaking for the Lord for 400 years. Now all of a sudden, here's this voice crying in the wilderness. And man, people flocked. Why? Because they were hungry to hear from God. Are you hungry to hear from God? I hope so. Last words, they're important. And this was Malachi speaking forth God's last words to Israel for 400 years. We should be thankful. Because why? We can hear from God every day. You know, we don't have to wait for some prophet to come up. And you could say, well, you know, we only preach once a week. Well, you know, go on the church website. I think every message I've ever preached is on there. Not that you'd want to hear them. But you can hear from God every day. You can find some message, or you can, hey, here's a novel idea. Open this thing up. Open the Word up and start listening to the Spirit within you, and you will hear from God every day. You don't have to wait for this prophet. You don't have to wait for God to burden somebody. You can go right to Him. That gives us such an advantage over these people. You understand that? You got God living within you? If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've got God living within you. We can hear from God each day. No matter what is going on in our lives, God's wisdom is available. It's available to us. Wisdom on how to respond to all these things. How to respond to what's going on now. That wisdom is available. The question is, am I as burdened? See, Malachi was burdened and he carried it out. Am I as burdened to align my life up with God's Word as Jesus was to save my life by keeping God's Word? Because you see, God promised all the way back at the beginning, Adam and Eve, He said, yeah, Satan's here and he's going to bruise, but your seed's going to crush his head. That was a promise made by God back in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve. And the whole rest of the book of the Old Testament is about bringing Jesus into the world. God keeping His Word by sending His Son to come and live a perfect life and die for you and me and the sins of the world. It's an amazing promise, and God kept His Word. But the question for us now is, are we keeping His Word too? Are we doing the things He's asked us to? When God burdens us, do we respond? When things come into our life, like what's going on right now, are we responding according to the Word of God? May our answer be yes. May our answer be yes. Going to have an invitation. Of course, most of you are at home watching this, or if you watch it later, you're at home watching this somewhere, whatever. But really, it's a time for you to have introspection, I guess, to look inside. Where are you at? How are you responding? Our world has been rocked in a way. And you know what's kind of scary is, or maybe it's not scary so much to me, but eye-opening? This is kind of a minor thing. I mean, I'm not making light of people dying and all that, but this isn't a devastating thing, and yet people are panicking, and you go to the store and the stuff's gone, and people are scared and they're full of fear. And, you know, God's trying to get our attention. And can you imagine if something nuclear happened? Something like that? What would go on in our society if, I mean, here we've had maybe, I don't know, a couple hundred people severely affected, or, you know, maybe 1,000 people out of 330 million are severely affected by this right now in our country. Now, can you imagine if something catastrophic happened that half of us were affected greatly and everybody was affected to some extent? What this would be playing out in the streets? You know, we got to get our focus on God, folks. God did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us peace, wisdom, sound mind. And we as Christians, we need to portray that. We need, the world needs to see us being calm. The world needs to see us being faithful. The world needs to see us completely sold out to the Lord and trusting Him for where we're at and where we're going and where we're going to be. In fact, the harder things get, the harder we need to cling to Him. Something to think about. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come to You, and on behalf of people, Lord, it's just people. And You are holy. You are the one true God. And You love us. And even in the midst of this, You are providing for us. And we thank You for that. Help us, Lord, to have a spirit of thankfulness. Help us, Lord, to have a spirit of faith. Help us, Lord, to draw closer to You. May we make these kind of decisions, Lord, that we would not act in our own flesh, in our own fears, but, Lord, that we would turn to You, that we would count on You, that we would cling to You, Lord, on this day and every day, in times of trouble and in the good times, Lord, may we continually draw closer to You. For it is in You that we have answers. It is in You that we have hope. It is in You that we place our faith. Father God, I ask You, Lord, to move on the hearts of Your people. Move on the hearts of our audience here today, Lord. That You would work a mighty work in our hearts. And we'll give You the praise and the glory. Amen. You know, the music's playing, and there may be some of you out there, you may have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can't get close to God because you don't have a relationship with Him. But I'm here to tell you that's open to you. That is all you have to do. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. So all you have to do is ask God to forgive you. And in the knowledge and in faith that only Jesus can save you, and that Jesus died on the cross in your place. He paid your price, your penalty for your sin. And you just admit to God that you are a sinner. And you just ask God to forgive you in the name of Jesus. And you know what? He will. And His Spirit, the one that I talked about earlier, that would move into your heart. And you would begin to have relationship with the living God through that Spirit. Through God's Spirit working in you. And you'll change your life forever. And you'll begin to look at the world and the things that go on in it in a different way. That is open to you. And I hope, if you've watched this, I hope that you would make that commitment, that you would just ask God to save you. And if you do that, He will. And if you did make that decision, give me a call. or text me and I'll call you. Because I want to help you and I want to pray with you. This is your time as the music plays. You deal with God. Maybe your world is rocked and you're not responding so well. Or maybe things do look impossible. Or maybe you're discouraged. Or maybe you just feel distant. How are you going to respond to that? Ask God to show you. You know He will. This is your time. You deal with Him. Blessings. Father God, indeed, help us all to focus on the good things, Lord. You're still working in our lives. You're still working in this world. Father God, help us to keep our focus on You. Lord, give us strength. Take away our fear, Lord. Encourage us and help us, Lord God, for You are the one that can do that. And Lord God, I do pray for all those that are affected by what's going on here, whether it be their health or perhaps it's their finances. There could be many ways that people are being affected by this situation. Lord God, I pray that they would turn to You. I pray, Lord, that You would move in their lives, that they would know that You are God. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Is it off? Thank you. I just thought it was kind of interesting that the message for the thing was that fit really well.